And if I'm not mistaken, this month will be Zachary facilitating.
Facilitating this meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
The big one.
I'm not really sure like what to do actually, but let me pull up the agenda. I'm gonna just go off what I've watched you all do.
Yeah, it's just
You're gonna
everything
do
that's.
great.
I
I think
agree.
this surprise is due to the fact that we didn't have a co-chairs meeting this month. I'm so sorry,
Right.
Zachary.
That's okay. It's sometimes you just gotta sink or swim. Okay, so
I also want to quickly mention, double check that it's the 2023 agenda item. For some reason, the 2022 one was sent in the original email, so I sent a little email earlier today.
oh yes, I do have the 20.
I'm
One
not trying to
second.
set you up for failure, I promise.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, here it
Maybe
is.
someone can share this, put it up.
But why don't we
Oh.
start
Exactly.
actually first with introductions? That'll give you
Sounds good.
some time.
So I'll start. I'm Zachary, council member, council co-chair.
Hi, everyone. I'm not even sure if you can see me. I'm having issues with Zoom. It's like all kinds of crazy on my screen right now. But anyway, Manuel Vasquez, co-chair of Council Affairs.
Manuel, hey, I'm having the same issues, Manuel. So you are not alone in that. I don't know if, I can see myself, but that's it. Isn't that odd?
We can see you.
We can see you.
Interesting. Actually, I think I could screen share and you can see what I'm seeing. Is that, can you see that? Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Oh, that is weird.
Huh.
All right, I'll stop sharing. Thomas Noble, they then pronouns government co-chair. I'm not sure where we're at. Sorry to be late.
That's okay. Thank you, Thomas.
I'll go next. Irma Parada, Council Co-Chair.
Thank you, Emma.
And I'm Maria Lacayo, and I'm with HIV Health Services.
Maria.
Richard Sullivan, Council Co-Chair, and today is my 61st birthday.
Happy
Happy birthday,
birthday!
Richard. Happy birthday, Richard.
Thank you, everyone.
Think that just leaves Chuck before we do council staff.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, yeah. I'm Chuck Adams, co-chair of Council Affairs. Obviously, I don't have the office volunteering yet.
Mark, council
yes,
staff.
Council staff.
Kara, council staff.
And Crown, council staff.
Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, I think we got everyone. So let's review and approve the October 19th, 2023 draft agenda. So, do we say any opposed? If not,
Oh
then
no.
oh.
I mean, yeah, you could say that, but you could also say any changes or
Oh.
updates to the agenda, and then if there's anyone who has that, they can change it, and then after that, you could say approved by consensus.
Okay, great. Any changes to the agenda from anyone? Okay, hearing none, then the agenda is approved by consensus. And next, let's move to reviewing and approving the September 21st draft minutes. Any changes or additions or edits from anyone? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved by consensus. And next we will move on to announcements. Anyone have any announcements, Mark?
Just a reminder to those folks who haven't, please do send me your priority of committee assignments. Some of you already have. Thank you very much. Those of you who haven't, I mean, you have some time, so consider it. Any questions?
I have a question. I know that you mentioned on your on the email, that's why I haven't responded, because I have to think about the assignment for me. So we can talk offline if you want. But do you know which, do we know if any of the groups are going to go, are going to start meeting in person? I mean, I know that you,
and from my understanding, there's been no energy from any of the three committees to meet in person. I do want to make sure that we maintain at least one virtual committee. Right now, they're all virtual. You know, we might want to think in the future about having one that is an in-person committee. But I would like us to not just forget lessons learned about the efficacy of hybrid when looking at how we sort of structure how we meet. So that's sort of my, it's not really a commitment, but it's just my very strong hope that we do maintain one virtual committee. And it did seem like the strongest energy to maintaining virtual was in council affairs. And that actually makes the most sense to me, because that's a lot of it is presentation review, which can be done remotely so easily. I think there's logic, for example, with membership, if they choose to become in person, because, you know, they do interviews. And so those are nicer in person. I could see the logic with community engagement staying the same or turning in person. I think it really just depends on the group. But as I mentioned, like, it just didn't seem like anyone was particularly interested in in shifting, since we already do have our monthly in-person meeting.
Thank you, Mark.
No question, just an announcement. I'm sure everyone's seen it on the HIV Frontline Workers email group and all that stuff, but there's a town hall tomorrow that I will be speaking on. It's about HIV housing, essentially, in San Francisco, but we have some guests from Washington, D.C. that will be here. And so myself, Bill Hirsch, and Vince Chrysostomo will be the speakers. It's a panel discussion. It's going to be from 12 to 2 at, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's on Mission Street. I'm about to put the flyer in the chat box. So anyway, if you haven't heard about it, if you're able to, I'll be speaking. And so it's always great to see audience support, but it should probably be an interesting discussion.
Great. Thank you, Manuel. Any other announcements? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to public comment. Any public comment? I think so. So we will move on to committee and work group reports. So do we have a report from community engagement?
We do. We had our community engagement meeting on the 4th. Pretty straightforward. We had HCAP presentation by Stephen Spanos, as usual. He talks about a couple of issues with us, helping some clients with basically care provider interactions, some unit clutter. He helped someone avoid legal action being taken against the client. HCAP advised the client on the dangers of housing insecurity, you know, stay up on that. He wanted to highlight the excellent job the service provider was doing with reaching out to him. He wanted to highlight that service provider. He also talked about HCAP providing food service to client exhibiting excessive weight loss and withering, I think, a wasting. Service provider will provide blended food As long as client's weight doesn't fall below dysphagia levels, he was talking about that, so they helped out there. And some issues about, on the other end of it, service provider communication issues, difficulties with communication channels, especially with special appointments for people. We went over needs assessment, COLA update. On the needs assessment, the focus group, Latino, Latina, Latinx, we heard from Kira that one of the focus groups was completed, 15 participants, 40 people total. I believe one more focus group is left with that. And the COLA, we were talking about the people affected by evictions. Recruitment is ongoing, but there's been limited turnout. So we had a lot of discussion on that. And we're probably going to combine reporting on people being affected by evictions and other COLAs at the same time. So we're going to keep up the input on that, but maybe blend it in with other things, from my understanding. So that's where we stand with community engagement.
Great. Thank you, Richard. What about Council Affairs Committee update?
Yeah, I can handle that one, I think. We had the cluster detection folks came and gave a presentation. Well, what their presentation is going to be, and that should be, I like that kind of stuff. So it's going to be, for me, it was exciting. So hopefully it'll be for the rest of the council. And then we had the San Mateo County annual update. After we do the big meeting, then they always, San Mateo County always does an update. So it's a normal thing and it's quick and easy. And then Council Affairs, I completely forgotten about it, was picked to handle the blueprint implementation of the SOA blueprint. And for the life of me, I can't remember what SOA is at this moment.
State Office of AIDS.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. Ever since COVID, I can't remember a damn thing. And so that was with the Vicente counseling folks. And to me, that sounds like kind of an exciting thing to be doing. So, but we'll be handling that within the committee. So, and then bringing it to the council at another point. So that's, anything else, Manuel? Okay, that's it then.
Thank you, Chuck. And then did I hear we don't have a membership update, or we do?
We do have a member. I can take the
membership. Oh, we do. Okay, membership committee update.
So we had our regular items on the agenda for this month. So nothing too crazy. We went over a couple of items under council member attendance, just in terms of there was a letter of probation that was sent this month. And then there was a request for a leave of absence. So that was new. And then we went over the demographic information update, which remained unchanged from last month. And then we discussed some council recruitment stuff. And we talked a little bit, because council recruitment is tied in with the needs assessment and the ongoing COLA. So we talked a little bit about that. And that took us to the end of the meeting.
Thank you, Kara. And then lastly, a work groups update.
That work group didn't meet this month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving right along to the co-chair job description. So reviewing the government co-chair job description.
All righty, let me share screen. So we started and then truncated this conversation last month, if you all recall, because we had a shift in interpretation of guidance, but that does still mean a shift for us that we should make sure it's reflected in our policy. So the current policy, and I'll be sharing screen shortly, is that we have two government co-chairs. They each share a voice, not a voice. They each share a vote. And right now, the HRSA guidance apparently is that HIV Health Services can be a member of the council, but they cannot be in a leadership position as co-chair. And they cannot vote, which is fine. So Bill is now returned to the council as a regular council member and also as a non-voting council member. So we have to adjust the job description of this. And it basically means that we're going to just have to remove the shared co-chair idea and just make it a government co-chair, because although HRSA has this guidance around grantees of Ryan White Part A funding, which is of course HIV Health Services, CDC has a quite different guidance in which we are mandated to have a prevention unit, and for us that's CHEP, represented as a in a leadership position. So that's going to remain our government co-chair. Whether that that parallels bill about voting or not is honestly it's up to you all. Otherwise, it's something that we're mandated to do. So Thomas will, of course, continue as they've been doing all along, functioning as one of the leaders of the council, as a government co-chair, and as a facilitator. So let me go ahead and share screen. Just a moment. And a lot of this, you know, I could just do on my end, but I don't want to just work in a vacuum when it comes to changing an entire policy, right? So you'll see here, we'll designate one of the co-chairs as the DPH seat. That does not need to change, obviously. That will remain. And for this second one where it says they will each appoint, you can just obviously shift that to CHEP only. Staff person to serve as a council co-chair. Okay, staff appointed to, let's take out dual because there's no more dual. These probably shouldn't change. Familiar with HIV systems of, well, let's just take out care because that's not part of particular job duty. System of prevention administered by CHEP, we'll take out HHS. Well-versed in the requirements and regulations of the funders, we'll just do CDC. Capable to represent, shouldn't that be capable of representing? I don't know, capable to represent CHEP, let's take out HHS. Section, provide advice and direction to the councils when requested. While the appointed DPH staff, well, I'm gonna take this whole thing out because this is all that they're sharing responsibilities, but they'll only have one vote. So it's only one person. So I guess this is where I should ask, do people have strong feelings about this position voting or not voting? Should we keep it the same? Thomas has a vote. Thomas does abstain frequently, Thomas does officially have a vote. Bill does not. I don't have any particular feelings about it. Does anyone have any particular feelings about whether or not the government co-chair should also be a voting council member? You'll have to speak up because right now I can only see Chuck and Zachary.
You have a point. I think you have a point. Thomas, often, if not every time we have to vote, he abstains. And his vote can make a big difference and have a, you know, positive or negative impact. So I personally feel that he shouldn't vote. He shouldn't have, you know, that particular chair shouldn't have the ability to vote because he's not exercising or what he represents is not exercising his right.
All right.
And it's nothing personal against Thomas, you know?
Well, there's certainly logic there. I mean, obviously, Thomas has seen that logic in certain votes and has abstained. I think there's also logic. There's obviously logic in Thomas keeping his vote. There's other government appointees who do vote. So there's that. There's like a balance there. But if also we're looking at balance, Bill will not be voting. And so there's another balance there. So I think there's arguments either way. Looks like, Thomas, you have your hand up. I can now see people.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Irma. I appreciate that. I feel like the times that I abstain are when there's a clear obstruction or there's even a perceived conflict of interest around funding. So that's generally where I will always practice to abstain. So when it's not around funding, I'll vote. So just to put that in there. Yeah.
All right. So let's return to this item, since maybe we could even just take a straw poll of folks about how you feel about whether there should be a voting position or not. Because that does need to be determined if we're going to approve this policy, right? It's important. So keep Irma's thoughts in mind, keep Thomas's comments in mind, and then we'll return to that shortly. So we'll come back to four. I think we could remove five, because of course, if you're a co-chair, you will be continuing to do as you did. You can remove the new five, because it's, again, totally about dual. We can keep six. We keep the new five, 2-year term. We can remove six because it's again about dual. We should keep the new six because that's it's just a good thing to have when it comes to government. I'll read it out loud. If during the term of these appointments, the leadership of the councils feels that the DPH representation is not meeting the duties of this role, or that they are preventing the conducting of appropriate council business, the other three co-chairs may petition to the directors of CHEP for alternative staff for these duties, right? It's just a quality assurance. And then seven, in the event of a transition, the new appointment will be communicated. Oh yeah, that should stay. All right, so before we go back to item four, does anyone have any other additions or changes that they see to this new DPH government co-chair role? No? Okay, so let's go back to Thomas voting or not. Like I said,
I just have one little thing that I don't know if it just sounds weird to me, but where it says under 3A, familiar with HIV, the HIV systems of care prevention, maybe just say systems of prevention.
With
the HIV
systems, HIV of, systems of care prevention. Yeah. Thank you, Maria. Absolutely. CAR. HIV prevention system of CAR. All right, any other additions or changes or anything else want to do with this before we return to the voting question? All right, so we have to determine this before
I'm sorry, number four still has the two appointed DPH staff.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's the one we're going to be working on now as far as like the vote.
Okay, that's
I'll be
right,
up to this after we determine whether or not people have a vote.
Okay, we'll keep it from
Okay, so we heard from Irma.
So Mark, I'm sorry, but I think that if Thomas is, explaining his, their position, maybe we shouldn't even be discussing. Maybe we shouldn't even remove it, the ability to vote. Because he is voting when money is not allocated.
Correct. I mean, I think there is an argument to be made sort of in either direction, right? And so even though Thomas is clearly not voting when there are allocations, there are Thomas, for example, has voted on things within different committees about, meeting virtually or not, or about approving membership. And so the idea, I guess, again, which you all have to address is like, does anyone see a genuine, I mean genuine too. I don't mean perception. I just mean like, does anyone see any genuine problem with Thomas continuing to vote, keeping in mind that Bill is not voting? Also keeping in mind that like Bill and Thomas are receiving instructions from different government sections, so they don't necessarily have to parallel each other. So I just, there's a lot of things to consider. Do you want them to totally parallel, or do you recognize that they don't need to parallel? Do you want to put something in there about Thomas, not Thomas, this position cannot vote on allocation? Do you want to just keep it based on the person's own decisions? Or again, like, do you want to just say, we don't think this person should vote? Again, that's not, it's not punitive, as Irma made clear when she first mentioned this. It's just something that you all just have to consider. So I'd love to just hear, I'm not really hearing from anyone else besides my own mouth. So let's just maybe go around and just do a check-in, what other folks feel. What are your thoughts, Richard?
I'm still kind of confused. I mean, I think the bottom line is what I'm hearing is these people have this position that they can vote on council issues, except when it involves their department and funding.
No. This is Thomas's choice. Thomas actually has been doing what I think is fantastic due diligence in not voting for allocation. You'll notice that Chris Kent never votes for allocation. Actually, I don't think Chris Kent votes for anything except maybe membership. So it's not, but that's by Thomas's choice. Like, Thomas has chosen not to. There is no rule against Thomas actually voting on those things. Thomas has chosen, as I see it, as due diligence not to impact that vote. So what I'm asking is, like, do we keep it up to Thomas to continue doing that, or do you want to change it?
No, like, guys like Thomas, Bill Bloom, I respect their wisdom. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't have votes on these issues that we all vote on.
Okay. Well, Bill, you know, does not, under the new guidelines, Bill actually is not allowed to vote anymore. So that's part of the question. If Bill is not allowed to vote anymore, should Thomas be allowed to vote? That's a part of the mix as well. I think for many folks, it's not a big issue. For some, it might be. I don't know. Looks like Bill has their hand up. You're muted.
Yes. Hi, guys. However you guys determine for the seat that's a CDC seat, that the government seat, these comments are to the other side. I think I've said it to most people. I'm definitely there to partner with you. And if someone else from my unit, it were not me, it would be the same thing. So I think our style will be, unless it's providing information, when it's weighing in on opinions, it would be to wait to be asked rather than to push a personal opinion or even a departmental opinion, unless it would be like in direct conflict to kind of something someone wanted to be, and then we'd explain why. So it's not like we'll be silently there. We'll be participating.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is essentially a government appointee seat. That is different than a service provider or a consumer seat. A service provider is not necessarily there to represent their agency.